Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
So let's just pray and jump right into this. Father, thank you already for the more you've given us, Lord. I know we want more, but realize we just had more. During the last, since 10 o'clock, more has been poured out here, Father. And there is so much more to be poured out on us, Lord. And we just want to be that funnel that takes it all in and brings it in to us. And then what you do to us, you want to do through us, God. And so, Lord, the more is not just for us, but the more is for us to share more and more about you. And we thank you for your word this morning before we ever hear it, because when it comes off your scriptures, it is for us and not against us. And we love it, and we just bless it. Everybody say, in Jesus' name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. This morning, I just want to go ahead and let's put up the first note, get started right into this. No, that's last week's. Maybe I need to re-preach last week's notes. All right, I'll go ahead and start. They'll catch up here in a minute. Have you ever felt like you've been a prisoner of your bad choices and your mistakes? Come on now, raise your hand, and that way your neighbor don't feel so bad. Amen? And, you know, I want to use this word, and it's kind of the title for today. It's like you've been captured. Come on, say captured with me. That's the name of the message today, captured. And what most of the time we're captured by, again, our mistakes, our failures, our disappointments, our shortcomings, our just, oh man, we just blew it. Come on, am I the only one? Come on. Now, there it is. Now, go on to the next note, and here's the thing about it. When we feel like we're in a cage, come on, everybody ever felt like that? I want you to get that picture in your mind this morning. You're in a cage by your failures and mistakes, but it could be a time when you really get more focused on God. So the times of capture, even in the bad times, it's not a permanent position. Don't make it your lifestyle. Don't make it your identity. But it could be a time that maybe God didn't ordain you to be there, but you got there by your own choices. But while you're there, let God use that to capture your attention straight to Him. Because it's amazing when we get in a fix and we get in a place and we get captured, we're in a cage, we're in a prison of something, a bad report, a bad decision, a bad result. Isn't it funny how in that moment, nothing else seems to matter but getting in contact with God to let Him know our bad situation? Amen. Come on. Amen. Oh, God, did you see what the doctor said? Oh, God, did you see what they just did? Oh, Lord, can you... And immediately, hopefully, in that captured moment, we go to God with it. And it's a choice we get to make whether or not we go to God with it. I know that. But here's the thing about it. When you're in that cage, you are captured. But it's when we get outside the cage, it seems like our mind begins to wander to every other thing but God sometimes. Amen? Because when you're free of anything going on negative in your life, you don't appreciate so many times what God is doing, the more that is being poured out. And sometimes you say, well, they act like they're getting more. I don't know why they're getting more. Maybe because they're captured in God's love. And even though the door cell swung open, they didn't leave that attitude of gratitude when they came out of the cell. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So a cage can lead you to focus on Jesus, because let me just tell you something. In that cage is where the devil wants to isolate you, to tell you there's no way out. There's no hope for you. You're too bad. God doesn't love you enough. Your situation is the only one like it on planet Earth, so don't reach out to nobody, because nobody else will be able to understand what you're going through. All lies to keep you captured. All lies to tell you God's not going to come in that cage with you, because that sin that got you there, or it was a failure. You will never be anywhere that God cannot reach you. You are never alone on planet Earth as long as you're breathing on this side of heaven. Never, 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 never are you ever alone. He is one crawl away from you. Amen? Matter of fact, Psalm chapter 69, verse 33 says this, "For the Lord hears the poor and does not despise his prisoners." Amen? Look at the way the Amplified Bible says it. I love this part. "For the Lord hears the poor and the needy and despises not his prisoners." Now watch this. "His miserable and wounded ones." Come on, somebody. How many have ever been miserable and wounded in life? I think we all can attest to that. Amen? But even when you're wounded and even when you're miserable, he says, "I hear you." I love this. He says, "I don't despise you because you're there." He may despise what got us there, but he don't despise you being there. And the reason he don't despise you being there, because there is a cage that you may cry out to him, and if you do, he's coming in that cage. Amen? He says, "I don't despise you. Yeah, you may have messed up, but you're still my son and daughter." And I don't think any of us here as parents would ever turn down a cry for help from our kids, no matter how bad they messed up. If they're crying for help. Now, if they're crying for enablement, no. But help, everybody say yes. Yes. Amen? So again, you're never going to be anywhere that God cannot hear your voice, your plea for help, your cry of your anguish to him. As a matter of fact, and this is the reason I know this, is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. "For the Lord is what? Spirit." It's not in a human body. The Lord, right now in the earth, Father, Son is in heaven, and the Holy Spirit covers the earth, the third part of God. He's no less of God because he's the Holy Spirit. Amen? No less of what God is. God's presence now in the earth is through the power of the Holy Spirit. So God, the Lord is Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? There's freedom. There's a song written. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
freedom.
You can be in captivity and be in freedom. Come on now. Amen? Hallelujah. So I want to go now real quickly to Acts chapter 16. If you have your Bibles, your iPads, your phones, whatever. Go to Acts chapter 16. We're going to be starting in verse 22 through 34. But I kind of want to set this up for you this morning. This is Paul and Silas, two heavyweights of the New Testament. And they're doing what God's called them to do. They're preaching. They're going around. And they enter a city. And as soon as they enter in, this woman begins to follow them everywhere they go. And she is called a fortune teller. Okay, she's operating in demonic spirits, and she's got people that she works for. She's making money. "Give me money, I'll tell you what's going to happen." And oftentimes, she would give them a false prophecy of negativity. "You're going to have this, this, and this, unless you give me more money, and then I'll prophesy something good over you." Again, a false prophet. Okay? So she's a fortune teller, kind of like reading the stars and zodiac and all that junk, okay? A psychic, psychic, okay? Are you getting the picture? But she's a moneymaker for the people she works for her masters and stuff. And so, but she begins to follow Paul and Silas all around the town, and it says for many days, and all she's doing is crying out, "Oh, these are the men of the Most High God who are going to tell you how to be saved," with that kind of attitude. In other words, she's mocking them. "Oh, these are the guys that's got the answer. Not everybody. These will tell you how to get yourself saved." And I love the part where it says, and it's not going to be in your notes, but you can go back and read it. It says, "And finally, Paul had had enough."
Amen?
Amen? Patience is a virtue, but that virtue comes to an end at some point in time. Said, Paul had had his fill of this woman following around, and he turned around and he said, "I command you to come out of her in the name of Jesus." And the Bible says the demon left her, and when that demon left her, it left her ability to do what she was doing. It left her wanting to do false prophecy and working under these pretenses and counting people. And there was a rumor. Now, this, everybody say, it's not in the Bible, but from some of the other readings, she may have also been a prostitute. It's not in the Bible, though. That's just an add-on. Some of the people who study these type of people, they would often be a prostitute and a fortune teller, okay? So when she got delivered. She's no longer trying to do that, no longer has the desire to do that, and if she was a prostitute, she's not prostituting herself no more. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's what an encounter with a man of God will do. So Paul rebukes the demon out of her. Now, the people who were over her got mad because there's a source of income, and apparently she was top of the dog, And so now they're losing money. So they get mad at Paul and Silas. They run, grab hold of them, and take them into custody, okay? And in verse 22, we're going to pick up reading, okay? It says, "Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods." Now, there's a fun day. Out ministering, cast a demon out of somebody, and you the one gets beat down. Okay, we're going to go on there, okay? Are y'all ready? Huh? All right, next verse. "And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely." Next verse says, "Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet to the stocks." Now, I want to stop there a minute. Now, how many know that at this point in Paul and Silas's life, they are definitely captured? Okay? Now, here's the thing about their situation. It wasn't because they done something wrong. It wasn't because they had a moral failure, a financial failure, a friendship failure. They wasn't caught lying or deceiving or ripping somebody off with money. They wasn't in gossip or deceit or anything else. They wasn't out here prostituting and living up the good life or getting drunk. They cast a demon out of somebody. So now, everybody say, well, there they are. Now, they grabbed them up. They put them in jail. Now, they could have done what a lot of us do. They could have started griping. Now, you got to understand something. In this jail, they have layers of the jail that went down more like dungeon. And when that captain of the guard was said, make sure you keep these secure, the Bible says he took them to the inner part of the cell, which means at the very bottom in the basement of the dungeon of the prison, and then shackled them to that. Now, usually down there, it's very damp, watery, rats, rodents running around, very little light even during the daytime, no light during the night. Most of the time, it's pretty pitch black, unless they had torches, okay? We'll show you that here in a minute. So they're in the worst of the worst situations for doing literally nothing wrong other than obeying God. Sometimes obeying you, God, will get you captured. Okay? But it's a good capture. Yeah. Amen? But when we read on, we don't find them griping and complaining about their situation. Come on now. They didn't blame other people. We don't find them blaming the people that the woman that ratted them out and told everybody, "I'm delivered from this. I'm no longer going to do this for you." He didn't blame the masters, the pimps that was prostituting the lady's gift, if not her out. They didn't blame them. They didn't blame the judge and the jury and the magistrate that put them in there. They didn't blame the prison guard. They didn't blame anybody. What a missed opportunity. I mean, you've got plenty of people to lay the blame on except you. Because they were blameless in this. Wow. Okay. So they didn't gripe. They didn't blame others. They didn't gripe and complain and blame others. They didn't even blame the church. Because they had been sent there on assignment. They were ordained to go there. The church sent them there. They didn't get mad and blame the church that sent them. Amen. Dear God. They didn't even blame the pastor. And ultimately, they didn't even blame God. You know, they could have went back and said, "Church, you're the fault. You sent us down here to do this work. Why did you send us into such a corrupt place when you knew this would probably happen to y'all? It's y'all's fault. It's that pastor's fault. He or another ever told us to go down here. God, ultimately, you're the one that led us here. God, this is your fault." See, we always have the blame game. The whining and the complaining and the excuses and the blame game. And if you're not careful when you get captured, that's Satan's plan for your captivity. To get you captive to where you see nothing wrong with yourself, nothing wrong with it, and start blaming innocent people. And in their case, it could have been guilty people they were blaming. But we don't find them doing that at all. No blaming, no complaining, not blaming anybody else, the church, God, nobody else. But look what they were doing in prison, captured for loving people. Next verse, verse 25. "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying," because they're captured. Oh, and by the way, and they were singing hymns to God. So these guys were praying and worshiping in their captivity. Oh, this is getting good. Now watch this. Not only that, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now, I want to stop there just for a moment. If you find yourself, now, none of us, too many of us, have been found ourselves behind bars. Well, that's an inside joke. I'll tell you about it one day. But most of us find ourselves in captured by our own mistakes, our own doings. But we're still in jail. We're still imprisoned. And they were singing and praying, and it wasn't something probably like you think they were singing and praying. I think if it was modern day us in that situation, we might be praying. I doubt it mostly. But if we were praying, it would be something like this. Oh God, why did you do this to me? Oh God, are you kidding me? Oh God, would you please do something to kill somebody, get me out of here, and get sacrifice? Come on. God, why me? Why did you do this? What? I don't think Paul and Silas was praying that way. I think Paul and Silas was going, oh, thank you, Jesus. You're a great God. Thank you, Father, Lord. You've put us on assignment even in here, God. Thank you, Father, for the good things you're going to do, Lord. I thank you, God, my life is not mine to live any way I want to, but my life is a sacrifice for you today, God. Lord, let your will be done in my life today, God. Thank you, Father. I really do. I believe that's because you don't pray. If you pray the other way, you're going to have songs of sorrow. Oh, woe is me. But I believe when they broke out in psalms and singing hymns, they were singing stuff like, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Yeah. Amen? He set me free. He set me free. He broke the chains of bondage for me. Yeah. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. Hallelujah. He set me free. I believe they were singing songs of praise and adoration to God. And here's the thing. They wasn't doing some mealy mouth, oh, dear God, just please hear my prayer. And dear God, man, it said the prison was hearing them. They wasn't ashamed of what got them in there. They amplified what got them in there. They didn't tap out and say, oh, we're sorry, we'll never do that again. They doubled down on who their Jesus is. Right in the midst of their problem. I love their attitude, amen? Now, let's read on. Now, watch this. Where we get? Next verse. Suddenly, everybody say suddenly. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Their prayer and their worship in their captivity brought us suddenly on. And can I tell you prophetically that in your time of captivity and your kind of imprisonment, if you get your praise and your worship on, you're going to start seeing more suddenly show up in your life than you can handle. If you want to create an atmosphere for suddenlies, get in a prison somewhere and start worshiping and praying the name of Jesus out loud. Amen? Or at least loud enough where the devil can hear it. Amen? But what I love about it is it didn't just shake for them. The Bible says everybody's chains were loosed. Those who were probably in there for just reasons. Those who had committed crimes, real ones. Their chains were also loosed. Somebody touch your neighbor and say it matters. What does everyone's chains mean? Everyone's chains means this right here. Your freedom is contagious. Woo! Your freedom, even in captivity, you're in jail, you've made a mistake, you messed up, you got a bad report, it's bad. But in that situation, you get to choose how you respond. And when you respond like Paul and Silas did as a man and woman of God, you begin to lift up the name of Jesus in prayer and thank him for what he's doing to you and through you. You begin to sing songs of worship and adoration for his goodness. You watch the suddenly start setting people around you free. It ain't just about your freedom. Don't be so self-centered to think it's all about you. Your freedom is contagious. And other people get blessed when you are blessed. Can I have a better amen there? Amen. So what were they doing? They didn't allow their circumstances to determine the worth of their God. Come on now. How many times, and I've said it here before, and I'm going to say it again today, you can walk into a worship service here or in any church, and you can tell how people's weeks went, but how they worship. Amen. If they've had a good week, God's blessed them. They got a bonus at church, man, and they've had a good week with their spouse, and their kids have behaved, and you know everything's went kind of good that week. Woo! What a mighty God we serve! Yeah! What a mighty God! What a mighty God! Woo! I'm ready to jump and dance. Hallelujah! Something happened. You get in a wreck. You get a bad feeling. You get some sickness. One of your kids is giving you troubles. You didn't get the raise or the promotion at work like you like to. You come into worship and go, what a mighty God everybody else serves. Come on now. Like God's value is dependent upon how you feel about him. It don't matter how you feel. God's value, he's worthy to be praised. No matter if you're footloose and fancy free or if you're captured by your own mess ups, he's still worthy of your praise. He's still worthy to pray. Hallelujah. I believe if anything, Paul and Silas was actually more focused on prayer and worship while they were in prison because they didn't have nothing else to do. They couldn't go nowhere else and worship and pray. They couldn't get out and do what they wanted to do. Bless God, we're going to make the best of where we're at. Let's pray and worship here. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Look at your neighbor and say, don't ever forget this. Now, let me just point something else out to you before we finish this up. Notice it says they were praying and worshiping. They were praying and worshiping. They wasn't just praying. Now, again, many of us, I call it the Jesus in the jar syndrome. Come on, or Jesus in a jug or whatever you want to call it. We want to bottle him up and keep him put up on a shelf, and then we want to get out here and live like we want to live. And then when we start getting in some of the consequences of our actions and our attitudes and our mistakes, and life starts getting hard, we get captured by our own mess ups and stuff, then we want to run, get our little jug of Jesus out, open him up, pour him out, say, oh, come on me, Jesus. Come on me, Lord. Get me out of this, Lord. Jesus, help me, Lord. Jesus, Lord. I'll be at church Sunday, Lord, if you do this.
Amen.
Come on. And the Lord will be faithful, and he'll spring you from prison. And then you bottle him back up and put him in there and say, Lord, I know I told you, but you know, I just can't this Sunday, Lord. I got a bunion on my big toe. Now, I still go to work with that bunion. Isn't it amazing we can go to work on Monday with what kept us home on Sunday? Let me say that again. Isn't it amazing what kept us out of church on Sunday? We still take the same thing to work on Monday. So that tells God work is more valuable than him. Good preaching, amen, I'll help you. So they was praying, and again, they wasn't praying some mealy-mouthed, whiny prayer. They were praying prayers of thanksgiving and honor to God. But then it says when they finished praying, they begin to worship God in their captivity. I don't see too many people ever. Most people, when they get in trouble, seriously, I've done it before too. I've been breaking these patterns in my life. When I'm in trouble, when things ain't going good, still a prayer of thanksgiving. Still, and I'll show you this here in a minute. Still a prayer of thanksgiving. And then start worshiping. Do you feel like worshiping? Absolutely not. You don't feel like worshiping. But if you worship on your feelings, you're only going to give God one third of what he's worth. Worship and God has nothing to do with your feelings. It's all about your faith. And when you can't worship by your feelings, you worship by faith until your feelings get good enough. Let me say it again. I don't feel like worshiping. Ain't got nothing to do with it. You worship by faith and it'll increase your feelings to God.
Amen.
Try it. I promise you it works. It worked there. It works now. It works forever.
Amen.
Amen? So it's not just prayer. It's prayer and worship. Because if you don't pray properly, you're not going to worship properly.
Amen.
And right after you pray when you're in trouble, try to find a song that matches the way you prayed.
Yes.
Because if you're griping, whining, and complaining, that's why you just pray only and you don't worship. Because there are no worship songs that glorify honoring, griping, complaining. Well, verse 27, let's go on. So this is happening. It's shaking up. The doors are open. Prison doors are open. The chains have fell off. Not just them two, but everybody in the prison. We talk about a massive prison escape. We're fixing to have us one. And the keeper of the prison, awakened from his sleep and seeing the prisoners' doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, he drew his sword about to kill himself. Now, he knew that under his watch, if all these people were gone, he's dead anyway.
Amen.
You might as well kill yourself versus being tortured to death.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
Actually, a wise move, because that's quick and it's not painless, but it's fairly quick. So you got to bleed out, but But they'll beat you to death. I mean, they'll torture you to death. Okay? Now, why would he do this? Because he knew the doors were open, and he assumed all the prisoners were there. Why? Because he was in the bottom of the dungeon with Paul and Silas. He couldn't see. It's total darkness down there. This is at the midnight hour. Remember, there's no daylight. So they're in total darkness. He knows the chains. If he hears the doors and they're all done, feels his way around, feels the doors open. I might as well just kill myself and get this over with. But verse 28, but Paul called out with a loud voice saying, do not harm yourself. We're all here. Amen. We're free to go, but we're staying a little while. Because as soon as we get out there, we know it's going to be the regular rat race, and we just want to worship in here a while. Whew. Sometimes captivity, you're never captive, no matter what cage you're in, if Jesus is in there with you. You are totally free. You are totally free. There are some people right now who have committed horrible crimes and are serving life sentences in prisons right now. They'll never get out. But can I tell you, some of them has come and found Jesus Christ in prison? Because somebody went in there, ministered the gospel of Jesus Christ into our prisons, and these people get gloriously born again and saved. They're never going to get out into the free world again. They're always going to be in a 6x9 cell the rest of their life, but they are more free than a lot of people walking out around here. Why? Because they're free in their mind and in their spirit. It doesn't have to do with their surroundings. It doesn't have to do with your possessions. It doesn't have to do with your social status. True freedom comes from the love of God. Amen? Amen? That's where real freedom's at. That's why you can have the top-rated suicide in America be among rich CEOs and very successful people. That's the number one suicide rate in America is immensely successful people. Why? Because they got everything money can buy, but they don't have a relationship with God. And when you get that relationship with God, it don't matter your money no more. It don't matter your status. It don't matter what kind of clothes you wear. It don't matter how your hair is did up. It don't matter how your makeup is on right, ladies. But we appreciate you getting it on close. Can I have a better amen there?
Amen.
Amen. So Paul says, don't do yourself any harm. Go on to the next verse. Then he called for a light. See, it was dark. The captain guard calls for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Why? Because he had heard them praying and singing too. Their captor, the one who is in charge of keeping them in prisons, listening to what they're saying and doing. He don't hear like other prisoners. Other prisoners are probably cussing him out, calling him all kinds of names, blaming him, blaming the government, blaming everything else. Come on. He's hearing two men worship and praise God. Wow. And he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Look what his first question was. Not how'd y'all get out, how'd y'all do this. Go ahead and put up the next verse. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? It wasn't how'd you get out. Are you magicians or what? He had heard them call upon God. He seen God respond. He knew right then, these are real. And they didn't run off and try to leave him. That's a whole other message there, but I'll go on. Verse 31. So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. I love this. And your household. In other words, this ain't just for you right here in this prison. It's going to your home when you go home with it. Now watch what happens next. Verse 32. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house, in his house. Next verse. And he took them in that same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and his family were baptized. See what being captured does sometimes if you let God have your captivity?
Right. That's right.
Listen, if you can't pray and give God thanks in your captivity, keep your mouth shut. At least you won't bring in an added curse. Just keep your mouth shut during the middle of it. You ain't got to get on, nowhere in the Bible does it say you have to let people know what you're going through.
That's right.
It does say seek wise counsel.
It does.
I got news for you. Facebook and Twitter and all that's not wise counsel. You have the right to remain silent. You have the right not to tell everybody your life story for pity. You have the right not to have that attention in your life that you so crave sometimes. See, they were more craved for the attention of God in their prison than they were their circumstances. He took them home, he bandaged their wounds, and him and his family got baptized.
Why? Because two people got in captivity but did even what God told them to do while they were captive.
Amen.
It's not that, I mean, it's a really a good story, but it should be a common story among believers.
Amen.
Come on. Look at the next verse, verse 34. Now, when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Why am I here? Why am I going through this? Oh, God, this is... Look for what God is trying to do. Sometimes we know why we're at because we made a dumb decision. Lord, how can I learn from this and never put myself or my family in embarrassment again like this? But thank you, Lord. This is not going to be my identity, Lord. I sing you songs of praise right now, God. You see the difference, church? And the difference is not just for you to come out of captivity, but to bring anyone around you out of their captivity. You do understand that, don't you? Your deliverance is not just for you. It is to be used to you and through you to help someone else come out of theirs.
Amen.
And it may even be one of the people that helped put you in there. That's tough. Amen? This works. Why? Because he's the same God today that he was back then. Amen? Now, I want to give you one verse, and we're going to break it down pretty quick here. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, a very familiar scripture. It says, and we know, everybody say we know. Some of you don't know this. But once you come to the realization of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you study this out, join the we movement and get in this. We know those who have been blood bought, blood washed, baptized in the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Spirit of God's love. We know that all things work together for good. To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Leave that up there. So many people hear that scripture in there when they're in a time of crisis. Somebody will come in and a pastor will come in and read that. Now, brother, you know all things work together for good. Oh, there's no good that can come from this. Oh, woe is me. First thing you need to understand about the scripture, it says all things work together for good. Didn't say all things would be good. Understand that. It never promised you everything's going to be good in your life, especially when it's us making the stupid decisions that puts us in captivity. But when we're in there, he says, I can take even the worst of your problems, the worst of your failures, the worst of your mistakes, and I'll work it to some good, but you got to work with me. But now let's look at that. Some of us stop that verse right there to encourage somebody. You know, brother, the Bible says he'll work it out for good. I'm believing for that. Well, you got to do more than just believe.
Amen.
You got to do more than just wishful thinking. Because let's look at the rest of this scripture. It'll work out together for good. That's part one. Didn't say everything would be good, but part one is it can be. But here, it's not for everybody. Now, everybody can, but everybody don't qualify. But you can qualify if you really want to.
Amen.
What's the qualifications? Let's read the rest of the verse. The things that are going to work out, no matter what they are, to good, eventually, now it may not be overnight, it may take a little time, but somewhere down the road, God's going to have it good for you.
Amen.
Based on to those who what?
Love
God.
Right.
Now that's talking about a sustaining, all-encompassing love for God.
Right.
Not loving someone that's going to come get you out and then where you can go back later.
That's, right.
That's not love. That's called abuse.
That's right.
Amen? It's talking about you got an in-love relationship with God, not you're just loving him enough to get you out right now. Now, we find a lot of that goes back to my Jesus in the jug. Oh, Jesus, I love you now. Come pour your spirit out on me. Get me out of this. Give me favor with the judge. Give me favor with the doctor's report. Let this cancer fall off. Let this whatever be gone. Let this cancer, high blood pressure, disease, whatever. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You get the good report. Thank you, Jesus. Now I'm going to go back and forget you. No, that's not love. That's called abuse. So you got to love God. Okay, let's say, okay, I really love God. Or I'm really going to start trying to love God and really pour myself in. And you've gotten your attention in that captivity. But then, it's not just about loving God. That's the beginning. You got to love God first. But now look at the rest of that. And this is to those who are called according to his purpose.
That's right.
So you got to love God. But am I walking in what he's called me to do in my life for him?
Yeah.
Woo! Come, oh, yeah, just a handful of people going to golf clap that.
That's a tough word there. Well, it's not a tough word if you're flowing in it. It's a good word. Because you know no matter what happens in life, you love him and you're doing your best to fulfill the callings of God in your life. You know you got a guarantee it's going to work to good.
Amen.
May not be good right then, but he's going to work it to good. Amen? But when you don't really have a love for God, you love religion, and you're not being obedient in what God's called you to do, you'll justify the sin that got you in there. You'll stay shacked up, you'll stay packed up, you'll stay drugged up, you'll stay drunk up, you'll stay gossiped up, you'll stay complaining up, you'll stay blamed up for everybody else. That ain't loving God. That is not according to God's will and purpose for your life. Now let me make sure you understand what purpose is talking about here. That doesn't mean that you got to quit your job, go to cemetery, get a degree, and start pastoring a church. It means, are you being the man and woman of God he called you to be in your marriage, in your job, with your kids, in public? In other words, your whole life reflects that you're a true man and you're a true woman of God. Well, I work in a plant. Well, be the pastor of that plant. Well, I work in fast food. Well, pastor that fast food restaurant. Become the prayer warrior there. Become the person who does it. Do your job. Do what they pay you to do. But be a man and woman of God while you're there doing it. That is fulfilling the purposes. That's someone who's looking to say, wherever you have me, that's my assignment from God. If you're in school, that's your assignment from God. If you're part of an organization, you're assigned by God to be his representative in that organization. So when you won't represent him where he puts you, you deny him in the power of his might in your workplace, in your marriage, in your curricular activities, in whatever you're involved in, and you just have a love for him to get you things and out of things, don't expect a lot.
Amen.
But when you're walking in love with God and you're growing in that love, and when you're doing the best you can wherever you're at to be a witness to whoever you can be, you got a guarantee from God. That when you're in captivity and you pray and you begin to worship him, somewhere it's going to work out for good.
Right.
He knows how to turn a tragedy to a triumph.
Yeah.
I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in other people's lives. But it all boils down to your attitude. It all boils down to how you respond to your mistakes, your failures, what other people did to you. It's how you respond. Because let me let you in on this. Come on up. Luke 17:1, it's not going to be in your notes. Luke 17:1 says, it is impossible that no offense is going to come to you.
Yeah.
That means, how many know when God says you're going to get offended when you're on earth, you're going to get offended.
Yeah.
Raise your hand if you've never been offended by anyone or anything on planet earth yet. Raise your hand if you've ever been married. Raise your hand if your spouse has ever offended you. Why are you throwing up looking all Pentecostal? Man, she celebrated that a little too much. Of course you have. Why? Because you're living with somebody who's not exactly like you. How many's ever had some children? Anybody's children ever offend you? Talking about your own, not everybody else's. Of course they do. Why? Because you don't have to train them how to be bad. You got to train them how to be good. So we get offended at our spouse sometimes. We get offended at our kids. What makes you think you're not going to get offended at work? What makes you think you're not going to get offended at your boss? What makes you think you're not going to get offended here at church? The Bible says it's impossible that no offense is going to come unto you. But it's how you respond that determines your future and the future of people around you a lot of times.
Amen.
I've seen people get offended at church, talk so bad about the church, just dog out the pastor of the church, this people, that people, and cause other people to leave while they stayed.
Yeah.
I'm like, Lord, let them go. Those other, listen to me now, listen to me. Well, I know you're talking about other churches. No, I'm talking about here.
Yeah.
I'm talking about right here in this church. People's gotten offended, run their mouth to everybody, told them how horrible I and the church was. And those people are like, really? We didn't know. Those people did not come to any kind of leadership and verify it's true. They just got mad and left, and those people stayed. I'm like, are you kidding me, God? But I said, Lord, find me a way to bless them anyhow. I know you're looking around saying, who is it? They finally did leave. They finally got offended bad enough and left. And they usually leave when nobody else will listen to them. Can I tell you another little pastor secret? When new people come in, there are certain people you pray, Lord, don't let them talk to them. Don't let them get around them, Lord. Because they do not represent the heartbeat of this church one bit. And they're going to gain influence into their lives, and they're going to be able to talk to them more about what's going on in their church through their eyes, and they have no clue what the vision of the church even really is. And sure enough, I've seen that happen. Where I know that it was good people come to the church, but they couldn't get involved, and they end up leaving because they got around a yang person. Can I tell you, listen to me now, you will stand before a just God. And I would not want to stand at judgment day and say, I had them kids appointed to be at that place to get their blessing, to get their salvation, and their whole household and their kids come to Christ. And you stepped in and you ran them off from my house because you couldn't get over your own mouth and get over your own attitude. I'm telling you, the zipped lip is a safe lip in the presence of God. Touch your neighbor and say, well. Stand to your feet this morning. So let me ask you this. Do you love God this morning? Amen. Now watch this. Are you fulfilling His purpose for your life, though?
Amen.
Didn't hear quite his response. Bow your heads. Now listen to this. When you truly love God, you absolutely will be doing what He purposed for you to do while you're on earth. In every area of your life. And then you've got the promise that things are going to work out in your captivity. We all confessed a while ago, there's times, and by our own efforts most of the time, that we feel captive. Can I tell you, you're designed not to stay in captivity. God will meet you wherever you cry out in prayer and worship. But you got to check your attitude of what you're praying and what your worship really is. And then this morning, do you love Him enough to pray and worship Him outside your feelings, good or bad? Do you love Him enough to start walking as His son and daughter everywhere you go? Because I want things to work out for you. And I know if I want things to work out when you're in captivity and see you conquer it, I know God loves you 10-100-fold times more than I do. And I'm sure He sent His son, and this is part of the package to get you out of that captivity where you can live a life of true freedom in His spirit. You can be in prison and be free. It's all a mindset. It's all a heart. It's all a soulish issue. So this morning, the first thing we want to cover, if you've never accepted Christ, you're in the bondage that leads to hell. And there is no way out of that. And the first prayer you got to pray is, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I am lost without you. I cannot save myself. I cannot forgive my sins. But I'm laying them on you. I believe you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. I believe you came, and I believe you died for me. And I believe you rose again, and you're alive for me right now. And I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I surrender my whole life to you because I will no longer stay in prison. You are my way out for eternity, and I will live my life serving your purpose. If you've never prayed a prayer something similar to that, we offer you that today with Jesus Christ. He's your only way out of that prison. To eternal life, because you're headed to a hell and a damnation that you can't even fathom or imagine. It's so terrible. That's why He sent His son Jesus to die for you, where you don't have to stay captured and imprisoned by the lies and your lifestyle. If you've never done that, we ask you to raise your hand in just a moment. You will not join church today. You will not become a religious person today. We offer you a relationship with the King of Kings. So what you'll become is you'll become a son and daughter of God Almighty Himself. With no strings attached, if that's you, just say, I need to lift my hand today, and I need to pray that prayer and get my life right with God. Anybody, just lift your hand. All right, maybe you're watching at home. Let us know. How many of you would say today, yes, I'm captive right now to some things. Sometimes it's a scale. Don't put it on a scale of bad, medium, worse, whatever. If you're captured, you're captured. We all probably are to some degree. Everybody does hurts, habits, and hang-ups on a continual basis. And if you're not captured, you may be in something tomorrow. Monday's coming. But it doesn't have to come with captivity. It comes with freedom when you walk with Christ. So how many would say with me today, Lord,
no matter where I'm at, whether by my own hand or by the hand of others, my prayers are going to give you thanks and my praise is going to be to your glorious name. And I know I'm going to have to work out of my bad attitude. I know I'm going to have to work out of the mindset that the rest of the world operates in, that it's got to be somebody else's fault and I can't be responsible. And Lord, even if I'm not, I'm still just going to say, you know what, Lord? You've got me here for a purpose. Show me the purpose. I don't like the season I'm in maybe right now, but God, I'm not going to complain. But Lord, I'm just going to look for a better purpose here. I'm going to look for who I can get by the hand and help lead out of here. And they're going to hear me pray thanksgiving. They're going to hear me worship and have a testimony of how good my God is, even in the prison. Because I have your promise that all things work for good in that instance. So God, I love you and I reconnect with you in the purpose that you have me here for. Wherever God has you at, he wants you to be the minister of that place. That does not mean you got to walk in every day with a 10-pound Scofield Bible beating everybody in the head. It means you live just an authentic life that draws attention to God. That doesn't draw attention to you, but it draws attention to the God you serve. And you'll find people that will start to walk up to you and say, what's different about you? You used to hang out over here with the dirty jokes and cuss and fuss with us, and you kind of stopped. Is everything okay? Man, everything's better than it's ever been. You know, I mean, I love you guys, and I'm not trying to bring, but man, I just can't be around that much more. I'm just so caught up in what God's doing, and he's just, well, man, ain't you going through this? And didn't you get a bad report? Yeah, but you know, God's got a purpose in all these things. And he didn't give or do anything bad to me, but he walks through those things with me, and I'm realizing I'm just leaning into him more and more, and I'm just so thankful. Man, how can you be thankful? It's just Jesus, man. If you got a minute, I'd love to tell you about it, but we got to get back to work right now. Maybe after work or something, I'll call you. See, it's so easy if we just apply ourselves. So, Father, would you just bless every heart and hand here this morning, God, and take us into a new realm of your glory and a new understanding of why we're really here and the purpose of our life is for somebody else. And that even in our captivity, God, you're there with us. You never leave us and you never forsake us, God. So, Lord, let our captivity turn into a place that the devil ever regretted sending any of us. Because not only are we going to come out of it, we're bringing others with us. Woo! Come on, say this with me. Say, Lord, make me that person. Come on, Lord, make me that person. That in my captivity, the devil will regret ever putting me there. Because I'm bringing everybody out with me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, one more time. Give him glory in this house. Amen.
Woo! Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.